So, Dan.
Yes, Joe.
Guess what?
Go ahead.
for first time shirt wearer, guess what Cotton Bureau has done?
Is it at the end of this year they have re-released every t-shirt that they have ever published from 2017 in a new campaign called All the Tees 2017, 1300 plus shirts in 20 days now through December 3rd.
Wow, that was an amazing guess.
Yeah, I'm good at this. I have ESP because I have a cold.
Well, you see, the interesting thing about that is that the shirts are only going to be available for a couple weeks. So you should act on it right now if you're listening to this and you were like, oh, I missed out on the shirts last year. Or if
interestingly enough, one of the shirts from 2017 was the Defocus branded t-shirt when we rebranded our podcast with our fancy new logo.
Yes. So if you're like, I need to wear a giant D on my chest, then
a very cool D that is a reference to an 80s defunct production company that made some very questionable movies that we talked about on the show.
Yes, like Cobra.
But it looks cool.
Yeah. So anyway, if you need a D right now, a big D, then feel free to go to...
I feel like this is improper motivation for our audience, Joe. If you would like to purchase the Defocused t-shirt from early 2017, the Canon Films tribute shirt, it is up on Cotton Bureau right now through December 3rd, defocus.co/shirt is the fastest way to get to it and buy as many of them as your bank account will allow. We will greatly appreciate that. All funds will go to us.
Question mark?
That's how it works, I think. I don't know, man. The shirts are cool. I kind of want to go buy some more, too. But anyway, that is available for anyone who wants to purchase them for the next however many days till December 3rd.
All right.
And I believe that is for the purpose of getting them shipped in time for Christmas. I should probably scroll down and read this if that is in fact the case.
Yeah. Stuff those stockings, people.
Stuff your stockings with Defocus t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Stuff your stockings with some D.
Oh, God. I knew you were going to say that. You're the worst. All right. Let's get to the regular episode. Oh, wait. I should do my... I can't do a Marc Maron when I have a cold, can I?
No, you can't. You're done.
All right. Let's start the show.
No.
It's terrible. And then you play the little guitar riff.
Lock the gates.
Can the beginning of our conversation be about system preferences?
Well, I think the beginning of our conversation should be about your cold.
Because
do you
enjoy the tone of my voice?
Yes, the timbre.
I'm tempted to go all John Roderick on you and just start like clearing my throat and coughing directly into the microphone, but I won't do that. I got a mute button.
Oh, much appreciated. Yeah.
I got some Gatorade here. I got some cough drops over here.
Oh, well, this is a very important follow-up question.
Uh-huh.
What kind of Gatorade are you using to medicate with?
It's red. I had a yellow one earlier. I've been alternating between red and yellow.
Mm, yes. Well, you see, the correct answer is lemon lime, which is the yellow one.
Yeah, yellow is a good one. That was always my go-to, and then my lady friend was always about the red, so we would usually have those around as well, and then she wouldn't drink them, and then I would drink them for her. So I grew to appreciate the fruit punch flavor as it is known, apparently.
Mm.
But the lemon lime is also good.
Okay.
It pairs exceptionally well with a Lipton noodle soup.
That's not even good noodle soup. What is going on, Dan?
It's not about the quality of the soup when you can't taste anything and you feel like garbage. It's just a giant bowl of broth and noodles.
Well, the good news is you worked all day, were sick, and now you have to pack to go on a trip to go to a wedding. So
mm-hmm.
everything's gonna go smoothly from here on up.
It's good times. Will be had by all. It's a celebratory weekend. Going to the City of Angels to hang out with some internet people and see a wedding. I don't know. You don't really see a wedding. You know, do you see a wedding or do you participate in a wedding? I'm not really a participant. I'll be in the audience.
Usually you say you're attending a wedding, but...
I'm attending a wedding. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to attend it.
You do see it, though, unless you're closing your eyes through the ceremony. I think would be kind of rude.
Is there going to be an eclipse this weekend?
Eclipse of what?
Eclipse.
Oh.
A thing that blocks out the sun.
A car by Mitsubishi. No, I don't... know anything about any astrological phenomena that's supposed to be going on this weekend.
Maybe there will be some sort of full moon or aligning of the stars, because I don't know how many years. How many years ago did we do our Rumbar thing? And what was that? That was Seagraph. Seagraph is the name of that show.
Oh, Dan.
Uh-huh.
You're not doing well.
Neither is Skype for some reason.
We had the meetup at Kanya Rumbar downtown. Our memberships have lapsed because we did not need those.
didn't feel the need to renew that one, unfortunately.
I kept
Shame Burrito around for like 5 years, even though I didn't use it, but let the Kanya Rumbar lapse.
Yeah. No. But I am hopeful that whenever you nail down your movements to some sort of specific degree, that I will be able to cross paths with you this weekend. But you're keeping things fast and loose. So who knows?
It's ostensibly a vacation, so I'm trying not to be strict itinerary man. But yeah, say Saturday somewhere in the second half of the daylight hours and the first half of the dark hours, there will be alcohol consumed in public that people can join.
I think you should take like a Sudafed or something before then.
No, I'm gonna take a really long sleep and then some more NyQuil. That's probably the problem too, because I'm due for another round of DayQuil and or NyQuil around like 30 minutes ago, but I didn't want to take it because then I would just be asleep on my keyboard. I guess it doesn't really help either way, because if I had the medication, I'd be asleep. If I don't have the medication, I sound like this, and my brain works like this.
Well, that's exciting.
It will be. I haven't been to Los Angeles in so long. It's gonna be one of those trips where we try and pack 800 things into ostensibly a day and a half, and we're not gonna get to most of them, but it'll be fun.
Yeah. What's the rush to get back?
Hotels are expensive, and Thanksgiving eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, sure. If you have obligations to attend to. I have work next week, but I have a wedding Friday. It's a different wedding from your wedding.
Yeah, that would be difficult if it spanned multiple days.
Yeah, so that one is in Riverside. No hotel for that. But
sorry, I just laugh when you say Riverside.
Well, it's practically Arizona.
Riverside is kind of a three-way stop in the freeway, and it's kind of, I don't know, like some farmland.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's
like in Die Hard when he says he was going to go stay with his friend in Pomona, and she laughs at him. It's the same thing.
Basically, yes. Because there's not much to Riverside. You kind of just drive through it, unless you're going to UC Riverside, I guess. But I'm not. And that's a place.
Which river is far. It beside?
I don't know, Dan. I'm not a native Californian.
You're not a riverologist. Is there actually a river over there? I don't remember seeing a river.
I'm just assuming because it has Riverside that it would have.
Maybe it's a concrete river, a freeway.
No, that's just regular Los Angeles.
Mm.
Yeah, and they built that in the 30s, and I think Riverside existed before then. Just a guess, but
maybe
whatever. Anyway, I'll be doing that. But the important thing about that is, I'm going to have dim sum the next morning, and I like dim sum, except I'm very selective about the dishes. So hopefully, since we'll have a variety of people, I can order some of the things that I like and not feel obligated to eat some of the things I hate.
Are you going to try and like act casual, like you're not super picky about it, and be like, oh, maybe we'll store all these things. Let me try this one and selectively try that one. And oh, I guess I got full before I got around to trying those other ones.
Oh, no. I'm 100%, open about my lack of taste for the, I don't know, there's like a radish cake thing, and then like a, sticky rice thing, just like all kinds of different things that I don't like. And there's like that little taro spun wrapped thing. It's like a cylindrical hash brown of taro, but it has like, I don't know, pork and shrimp paste inside of it. I hate it.
Hang on, a cylindrical hash brown of taro.
I'm trying to picture that in my head.
It just does not compute.
It's like if you shredded up taro and then like turned it into like a canal, you know, like where you take spoons and you kind of make like a football shape.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. But anyway. It doesn't taste very good. I don't like it. But the good things are the char siu. There, one thing that I did not know until Jason had brought me back some leftover dim sum and explained this to me is that char siu is inside of several different things. And so it's not just the char siu steamed buns, but there's also a baked bun. And then there's also this little triangle thing that I forget the name of, where it's like a pastry dough. So those are all good. Although I will say that I definitely lean more towards the baked char siu bao because it's not as doughy as the steamed and it's not as rich as the pastry one. Cause you can only eat like two of the pastry ones before you're just like, yeah, that's a lot of shortening butter, whatever in that.
That sounds like a challenge. I want to do that. I want to eat all of these.
Okay. Well, you're very fortunate cause you'll be driving through areas of Los Angeles that have a lot of dim sum restaurants.
I mean, this trip is already kind of off to a man versus food style challenge with that whole super spicy guisados taco that I'm going to go try and eat. So maybe we'll just make it a whole weekend of trying to eat a whole lot of food and then following it up with a lot of Tums and Pepto-Bismol.
I mean, assuming you recuperate from your head cold, I'm not sure you're going to be really super hungry.
I mean, the taco, I'm sure, is going to do that job for me.
Really clear out the sinuses. Really, yeah, get
if
in there.
Not, the $50 that I'm going to win after I eat the taco is going to pay for whatever medication I need.
Yeah. I just think you need to show me your driver's license, Sudafed. That's the good stuff. Remember our episode on Roger Rabbit?
I had
a lot of that.
I don't remember what Sudafed does.
Well, you see, it's named after this thing called pseudoephedrine.
Right. I know what's in it, but what does it do? It dries you out, is what they say. Oh, it's a sinusy thing. Where,
yeah.
I think I could use that. I could use some Sudafed.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't recommend that to everybody because, you know, it can cause problems like accelerated heart rate and, inability to sleep and twitchiness.
But it's like a workout without having to run, though.
Yeah, you should see what your Apple Watch thinks of that. I'm not sure it will be pleased, but yeah, you can always just do a little stress test.
I should have been on this a couple of days ago. Everyone could stand to shed a few pounds before a wedding. You want to look good in your whatever suit or whatever you wear.
Well, you're only one stomach flu away from your gold weight.
I think I'm a couple stomachs away from my goal right now.
That's not the line from the movie, though.
Yeah, I know, because I don't look like what's her name?
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. There you go. The English one there.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Her name was on the tip of my tongue, but my tongue just tastes like cherry Ricola, so I can't think of anything.
Well,
I think I've had about eight of them today.
Eesh.
The problem was I was operating the upstage camera at a live event, which meant I was shooting toward the crowd, but I was standing right next to the stage where the CEO of a very large corporation was standing, and it wouldn't be very helpful if I was just like incessantly coughing while he was trying to do his hour-long keynote, so I just had to continually eat cough drops and drink my little bottled apple juice that the hotel catering people put out for us.
When you coughed, did it vibrate the camera rig?
No, I took my hands off the camera to cough.
Does the camera dip down whenever you do that?
No, the camera's on a tripod.
Okay. I don't know what the specific setup was. You'd photographed that crazy-looking jib.
Oh, the big triangle jib. That was a nice jib, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I know nothing really about that stuff, but I was excited that you were excited.
Mm-hmm. It was a good looking jib. The jib owner, his name was Mike. He was a cool dude. He's from Austin.
The jib owner?
Yeah, they're not like pets. You don't companion a jib. You own a jib.
I just like the way those two words just run together.
Jib owner Mike.
Yes, jib owner Mike.
See, I see what you're doing now. It took me a few times.
Uh huh. I'm telling you, you need to see some Sudafed. But but anyway, yeah,
you're a jib brony.
I was a little disappointed that our mutual associate Scott was the first to beat me to the cut of your jib joke, because I was seconds away from that.
Well, see, that's the easy joke. That's the first joke. You always don't want to go with the easy joke. That's why you always look at the tweet to see who else replied with the easy joke, so you realize you don't have to be the one to tweet the easy joke.
Yeah, and I just had to wait until I could say jib owner. So that's good.
I feel like you're combining the two words there to make a new word.
No, you said jib owner, and I'm just saying jib owner. I'm just saying those words that you said.
You can't say that on TV.
No, well, we're not on TV.
His jib was 24 feet, but it could go up to 42 feet.
Oh,
under the right circumstances.
Not to brag.
And he had a star filter in his camera.
What is the effect of that exactly?
It takes when you're on a very wide angle swinging over the audience, so you can see the stage and the lights above and all of the people. It takes all of the pinpoints of light in the rigging above and turns them into stars.
Like five-pointed stars or like
cross stars? Well, see, the director really wanted six-point stars, but they only put the four-point star filter in the camera, so she was kind of disappointed.
Oh, so you had a little... meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice rig going on there.
Yeah, literal glass in front of the lens that created stars out of all of the pinpoints of light.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had that. I didn't have that because he had the big fancy the jib with the beauty shots. I just stood there and took shots of people scratching their nose and chewing gum.
As one does at a conference.
You know, the problem is also there's a giant red tally light that comes on your camera. So when you're pointed at people, and as soon as that light comes on, they look right at the camera. And then they're just awkwardly staring at the camera, wondering why it's pointed in their general direction, which makes most of your shots markedly worse.
I could imagine that would be the case, yes. But enough about your week. How was my week, Dan?
You became more internet famous for being the great Joe Steele of visual effects fame.
No, see, actually, here's the funny thing. Because I intentionally hijacked this conversation, I wanted to bring it around to the thing that actually seemed to do something wacky, which was all of a sudden I started getting a bunch of followers the other evening. And it turns out that I was mentioned on a podcast, and it was...
you want to start with this one?
Oh, yeah, I want to start with this one, because pretty much all of the followers that accumulated were not because of a video thing that I had done. They were because I was incorrectly accredited with something that you had said.
You were credited on ATP by, I think it was John Siracusa who said it. Who mentioned a tweet that you made?
No.
No, that was me doing a bad joke. Sorry.
Yes. Casey. I could tell. That's why I was laughing.
It's because you have the more storied history of ragging on portrait mode on Twitter with regard to the poorly processed, faked up the field photos from the various iPhones pluses and the iPhone X. That you get credit for all people annotating on top of portrait mode photos, apparently.
Yeah, you know, and
it's fine. I don't need any credit. It's fine. I'm just happy to be here. Dan, happy to be nominated.
The whole thing came about because there was a photo of Casey Liss's McDonald's cup. And
presumably
looked,
some form of diet beverage,
Diet Coke, as a matter of fact. And it looked awful. Just really like it had been hit by a truck. Poor mats, and they just all fell all over the image in random spots. It was a bad thing. It was not a good thing at all. But Casey couldn't see it, and so.
Well, to be fair, like I think most of us on first glance missed the missing straw because the background kind of had like some reeds or bushes through the window that sort of went in that same general direction. But until you realize, like, oh, no, that one kind of blurry-leaning stick right there is not actually outside that window. That's literally the straw that's supposed to be going to the top of the cup that just got entirely hacked off.
Yeah, I missed it because I just assumed there was no straw in the top of that cup because it had been annihilated.
You assumed nobody would bother to drink such a beverage. They would just buy it to take a portrait mode photo of it and then throw it away.
Exactly. No, but you had correctly pointed out after my annotations that I had completely neglected to point out the straw that was missing, which is the worst part of that photo.
But this actually led down like a kind of legitimate path for me in terms of something that I hadn't really thought about before. The idea that the iPhone X's portrait mode cameras are in vertical orientation instead of horizontal orientation, like the Plus cameras, and that kind of changes where your artifacts are going to be with your cameras in a vertical position. Like on the iPhone X, you're going to have poor interpolation of vertical lines, like the sides of the cup and things like straws. But if you turn your camera sideways so your lenses are horizontal, you'll be able to get that straw a little bit better, most likely. But then you'll have issues on the horizontal lines. So that's... Anyway, I actually want to do kind of a shootout between the two of these. I did a very unscientific one at the Apple Store the other day, but the background kind of kept changing, so it kind of sort of invalidated my results. Like, I'm pretty sure the results are the same, but I wouldn't, like, want to write it up as a comparison. But... you know, the way the portrait mode fails is different depending on how you hold it, obviously, because the lenses are very close together and they do the best job they can interpolating the depth information with their, what, like 2 millimeter or 2 centimeter separation? I don't even know what the interocular distance between those two lenses are.
Yeah, it is amazing that it comes close to even working at all, because... prior to the first version of portrait mode going out there, I had been incredibly skeptical of it ever producing anything at all. Like, I just thought it would just be completely god awful. But it is gotten to the point where sometimes you can see on Instagram or social media something that looks pretty good ish when you're scrolling through, depending on the conditions the photograph was taken in, etc. It might not look photographically real, but it won't look objectionable. There is some stuff that is just comically broken, and that stuff is just always something where I'm just scratching my head. It's like, why did you upload that photo to the internet with that giant gash through it where everything just blurs out to infinity? But you know, it happens. It happens to the best of us, I suppose.
My jib photo was like that, too. It had some very serious issues with the cables hanging down, and one of the, like, gaps between the jib arm, like, didn't have any blurred depth behind it. Just totally missed that section. But, you know, it was still a nice-ish looking photo.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's, you know, what most of the effect is supposed to be for. It's like, here is something that is nice, but not perfect. Oh, well, whatever. Here you go. But Joe,
since it's not perfect, does that mean they just shouldn't have shipped it in the first place?
Well, see, I made a joke, not realizing that the tweet that was attached to would be put into the notes of ATP, but I had made a joke, ship it, exclamation mark, because it was in reply to a different photo of cups that Casey had, where the pattern on the cups was sort of like a leaf handprint kind of a pattern, and that was completely sharp, but the edges of the cup had been defocused because the algorithm had determined that the pattern was the edge of the object rather than like the edge of the object, because there's a significant component of this process, which is a computer guessing game about what is a thing and what is not a thing and where that thing might be, because the depth map is not granular enough to be able to determine that stuff. So it has to kind of take an educated guess sometimes. And usually that's based on contrast, which is typically a helpful indicator of things, except it's not always 100% reliable. I remember when the first 3D TVs were being showcased, where they would do automatic stereo conversion. You ever hear about those?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really take off. You want to know why?
Because it's not really... solvable problem.
No, it's all pretty much luminance based. So you would have a shot of somebody sitting there, hair stretched to the background, and their eyes melted into the back of their head all the way to the background, because anything that was bright was far away, and anything that was dark was close to camera, which is just not how that really works. But it is one of those things where you look at that stuff and you're just like, wow, that's yikes.
Well, the problem is I don't think people really understand, and I guess unless you've really done any stereo 3D work, either shooting it or in post, that you can't really, it's hard to get your head around like the practical implementation of creating depth out of two camera lenses, or trying to guess it from a single camera lens, God help you. But it's just one of those problems that
Google Pixel 2.
Yeah, exactly. you can't do that. I mean, first of all, our eyes are, 65 millimeters apart-ish, roughly, and the amount of depth that we can perceive from a certain distance, like, you know, once you're a decent distance away, that depth perception and the sort of the parallax around an object is, it just kind of dissipates. And these lenses are so much closer, albeit, you know, portrait mode only works like 6 feet away or whatever, but like, they're trying to guess depth without really having much of a disparity between these two eyeballs. Like, it just doesn't work. That's why most of those early like 3D camera apps, back before there were portrait mode cameras, that you would take a photo and then you would move like 2-3 feet to your right and then use like a, like an onion skin sort of preview of the other photo to try and line them up and take the other angle of the photo. And that's the way you could get enough parallax to actually sort of create a 3D effect that was usable. But these cameras are just, they're not able to get enough data. Like, the idea that better machine learning or better algorithms is going to be able to figure this out is just not accurate. Unless, I don't know, what would you do? You would shoot like full res burst live photos and have an optical flow algorithm try and figure out every pixel. But if nothing's moving, then you're not going to be able to discern what's foreground versus, you know, target versus background. Like,
well, some of those programs that you had mentioned before would have something where you would move the camera really fast in order to generate the 3D image that it,
right,
that
you
it,
need some sort of motion, whether it be the camera or the subject.
Yeah, because then you can use vectors to determine the depth, because you can be like, hey, how far did this feature of this travel in screen space? And then, okay, well, that's how far away that thing is, because I know what the lenses I'm shooting with. And so then, and the film back, and you can calculate that stuff out. And that's how a lot of professional 3D software has camera tracking stuff that works in that manner. Like a Nuke's camera tracker is vector based. So if you have a completely static locked off scene, it can't figure out anything. But if you have a camera that's moving through a space, it can go, oh, hey, this feature moved this way and that feature moved that way. Okay, so I can kind of piece together what this is over time as I solve for it.
Tell us, Joe, what happens if something within that scene is moving?
Then it's like, I'm going to track you. You're the most important thing in the world. And then the camera is locked to whatever that moving person is doing.
Because the computer can't tell the difference between a moving object and a static object in a moving camera. That's why it relies on the human beings to tell it what is what. And then it can make analysis based on that. But then even that, the analysis is slow. It is imprecise. It requires calibration. And absolutely none of this happens in real time. I mean, I don't want to say it couldn't, I suppose it could, but the odds of it happening A, in real time, and B, accurately in real time are almost none currently with any, and this is one of those problems that it's not like a hardware thing. Like, you can't get like, oh, we've got like the Metal 3 chip now and it can process GPU stuff so much faster. It's like, no, there's just no image processing algorithm to figure out where these pixels are moving and how they're moving and orient them properly. I guess if you had, like, you know, if you could access your accelerometer data too, maybe that would help too, or something, isolate what is and isn't camera movement. I mean, you think they're smart enough or interested in like combining all of those sensors just to take a better portrait photo?
I think so, because that's what people want. I'm not poo-pooing this because I have some sort of philosophical issue with the idea that you could augment things.
At this point, I'm just trying to sort of problem solve, like, what could they actually do to solve this problem from a technical perspective? Because to a certain extent, it really is just about physical separation of the cameras, sensor sizes to a certain degree, and just the movement of objects or cameras in that particular photo scenario.
Yeah, but, you know...
Those are physical attributes you can't really program around, right?
Well, you can use the same sorts of software recognition stuff to determine, like, what is part of an object and what is not part of an object. Like, this is a human being and this is not a human being, which is part of what they're doing right now. They're just not very good at it, especially when it comes to edges. But that kind of algorithmic solving for, like, oh, so this is a person and this is a cat and this is... a signpost, like those sorts of things, and trying to figure out a relationship between them in space and what their approximate sizes are, etc. Like, you could do a lot of stuff with sort of general guesses about that, just in the same way that a human being could guess about those sorts of things. Like, if I'm approaching a problem where it's like, okay, so I gotta blur this person, so I gotta look at that frame and then I gotta draw around it and be like, oh, well, is this dark part here part of the background, or was that just part of the shadow from their shirt rolling off over there? And then you got to figure that out, and you usually go, you can go forwards and backwards a frame and figure out if there's movement and stuff like that. And if there's not, then you just take a guess and you just draw a line there. And the computers are just worse at where they're drawing those lines right now. That doesn't mean they'll never, ever, ever be good at it, but it's certainly not encouraging, you know?
Yeah. And one of the interesting things I think about the 10 is how you've got two versions of portrait mode, front and back, and they're both using a different technology to gather that portrait. So it's like you can kind of compare different solutions to the same problem. On the back, you've got two cameras giving you basically the same sort of parallax you would get with your eyeballs in order to perceive depth. On the front, you've got your infrared dot projector, which is analyzing depth, and it's good at creating sort of a low res you know, polygon shape of someone's face, but on the edges, you know, it's going to be so low res that you're not going to be able to grab much detail, which I don't know if you've tried a lot of portrait selfie stuff, but the edges are much worse.
Oh, so bad. On the back. So bad.
You know, but the, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I can't help but notice that the infrared sensor is much worse than the optical sensor. It's the camera stuff, at trying to figure out what the depth is. And you would think, like, oh, wow, IR, that's so out there. It's such a fancy technology. It's able to use it to identify your face. And it's like, well, it's just kind of firing some stuff at your head. And then it's like, these are just general distances. It doesn't actually need to, like, figure out the edges of something.
Oh my God.
did you get just, a photo I just sent you?
You just sent me an incredibly horrifying portrait selfie mode thing.
Yeah.
Did you have to make that face?
I did. And
oh boy,
making the face is part of it. Because you can see how janky the edges are, and the earbud headphones that I'm using to podcast with right now are blurred to infinity, even though they're next to my ears. So it doesn't, it is really comically bad at what it does. I don't think they should have turned it on, because I have yet to come across a situation where I feel like it has improved anything. Because who needs, like, random blurry jaggy stuff all around their heads? I don't understand that. Like, at least with the other angle, you can, when you're using the cameras, you can get into a better situation where you can optimize for the deficiencies. With this, I have no idea how you would optimize for these deficiencies, because it's all about low resolution depth data that it's using to do this. Like, what are you going to do? You're just going to, like, be a more simple silhouette. You're going to shave your head and remove your earbuds and then stand in front of a really contrasty background to make yourself pop. Like, I don't know. It seems like it's poorly designed.
Well, I mean, it's the limitation of the technology. It's doing some fairly sophisticated things for the technology that it is using to gather this information, And, you know, it would make sense to me that the IR dot projector has less resolution when it comes to edges than the dual camera system. But, like, what technology would we need to get small enough to stick in this camera to make this sort of thing work perfectly? Because we're never going to be able to get a full-frame 35 sensor and a full-size lens with enough distance between the lens and the focal plane of the sensor to create actual depth of field a la portrait mode, but like the real version, that just requires physical distance and light. So that's not going to happen. So what technology would we need to fake it in the iPhone? Like, would a, rather than infrared, would a LiDAR projector work? Would that create a better portrait mode?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't LiDAR infrared?
It's laser, so I don't know. It's more,
I think it's infrared lasers.
Is it really? Well, but at least it can be more accurate, or at least it can be programmed to be more accurate.
Well, I think you're just dealing with a resolution issue with the IR sensor, where it just doesn't have good enough resolution. But you also have a situation where it could benefit from some temporal sampling, shall we say, where if you moved it while you were taking the photo, it could probably use that information, at least to reconstruct parts of the image in a certain way, and to determine, oh, hey, look, those are hairs. That's not the background. Whereas right now it's like, you know, I think all that hair stuff, I'm going to blur it. And that's no bueno. Nobody wants that. And I've seen a lot of comments about this in the reviews, especially in comparison to the Pixel 2, where reviewers are like, oh, look, it makes my hair so much better because it's all sharp and pointy. And it's like, well,
most of those instances is just contrast against the background, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's usually contrast against the background, but also, I mean, the Pixel does a better job, but it prioritizes the edges differently. But it also leaves everything in between the hair. Like, let's say there's sort of like a little triangle between two pieces of hair. In the point of that triangle, it's going to leave everything sharp because it's prioritizing for the hair and it doesn't want to accidentally blur out anything. So you wind up with this sort of like webbing of sharpness around all of the hairs on somebody's head. It's very peculiar looking. It is an artifact specific to the Google Pixel 2. The iPhone doesn't do that because it's like, hey, I think this is an edge. Blur. And that is just a different way of doing it. They're both wrong, but a lot of people seem to prefer having that sharp, webby hair stuff, rather than the soft edge that, the iPhone seems to do when it's like, what do I do? It's like, well, I'll default to this.
In some instances, I could see that, like, it really eats away at the edge of most people's glasses frames, and it does that on mine as well. In that instance, I would like it to err on the side of being a little more generous, but the hair stuff, like, I mean, you know, let it go soft. Like, you don't need sharp resolution on anybody's hair in particular. Yeah. By the way, real-time follow-up, apparently LiDAR can be ultraviolet, visible, or near infrared, so it could be any of them. Who knows?
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully we can blast some UVs at us. We need more of
healthy.
Them.
That sounds very healthy. But
ultraviolet,
like,
is my case.
What?
My silicone case is called ultraviolet.
Oh, is that the color you bought a case for your phone?
Oh, of course I did. I was by case. And this phone is perfect for cases because it's very breakable.
You should just try not dropping it.
No, I should just keep it in the case.
It's very pretty, not in the case too.
I also really like it. You know, the ultraviolet's purple. When I ordered it and I said I want the ultraviolet case because I knew the name, the official name, the Apple Store employee looked at me and said, "Which one?" And I said, "The purple one," because that's what it is. And Jason hates it. He got the leather case and he hates that one too. He complains that it scuffs and gets blue from his jeans on it, and it's.
It does those things, yes.
He doesn't like it. But I'm very happy with my silicone.
You know what doesn't scuff or get blue from your jeans? Glass.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it scuffs, though.
Not just from, like, holding
it
in
your
hand.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Touché.
They shouldn't go in cases. They're better without cases. It's already the fattest iPhone that they've made in like 6 years.
It's fine. It's a little heavier than the 6, but you know, I'm not complaining.
It feels dense and expensive.
Yes, very dense.
Like those
dense and expensive, just like me.
The Jurassic Park goggles. Yeah, I don't know about you, but the past like week-ish of being in public has been. Is that a 10? Yeah. You like it? Yeah. What about the notch? Doesn't bother me. How much was that? A lot. Did you get it on a plan? No.
I don't understand the how much was that question, because it's like, how do you not know that? How do you, like, what? Just Google that.
Yeah, I think it's just people trying to reaffirm something that they may have seen online or heard somewhere. Mm-hmm. They're like, wow, it's really expensive too, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it's, I mean, they all are depending on which one you buy. When people ask me how much it costs, I just say it starts at $1,000. I don't want to tell them how much I spend.
Well, yeah, of course not, because then you reveal that you had to buy the 256 gigabyte one, and it sounds ridiculous.
I mean, I'm not an idiot. Of course I buy the bigger one.
Well, see, what I really would have preferred would be a 128 model, because 256 is kind of ridiculous for my specific needs, but it is definitely a situation where I was not going to be able to get by with a meager 64 any longer.
I'm happy with the 256. I'm just less happy with the price of the 256.
Well, I mean, but see, that's the example why you'd want a 128, because it'd be less.
And then there's all those that tax and stuff that you never really think about until they put it on there and they're like, here's how much.
Oh, yeah. It's quite expensive.
It's a very pretty phone, though. I mean, it's, you know, I'm still getting used to the True Tone, the very oranginess.
I'm mostly used to it, but when I first got it, I was like, oh my God, is night shift on? Like, what's happening? because it was so incredibly pee warm that I did not like the screen at all. And Jason even commented on it, and he really does not have,
discerning really eyes.
Yeah. He doesn't have discerning eyes. I don't generally notice that anymore, and the blue shift also isn't bothering me as much. Although when I first got it, it was like orange blue, orange blue, orange blue, and I was like, oh, this is gonna drive me crazy. But I got used to it after time. The thing that does bother me though about it is that it kind of still doesn't quite have the auto sensing for brightness stuff down. So yeah, I turn it on in the middle of the night and I have a giant slab of super bright, you know, solar energy blasting.
Oh yeah.
In my
you got to make sure you turn that down before you go to bed. But, yeah. Do you remember in my, we talked about it on one of these previous shows, my tweet storm rant about all the things that iOS screwed up, in iOS 11.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was like the recalibration of the brightness slider. And I know now why they recalibrated it, because it was for this OLED screen, because it fits here. Like it used to be on the other phone that leaving it somewhere around the midpoint was normal. And this phone, you need to keep it very near 100% to look good most of the time.
I would say that it mainly affects the color accuracy when you have it on a lower setting.
It just feels kind of weird, doesn't it? Kind of dingy almost.
Well, that's what makes you notice the orange and the blue is because it's not bright enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like it that bright, because I find it actually kind of too bright to look at.
It looks great in the daytime, just not in like dark rooms at night.
Yeah, well, I sit in a dark room all day and I use my phone at night, so yeah. that's all I have.
I guess to bring it back to portrait mode, one of the other things, the only other thing that I've been noticing about this phone is, like, I try to keep a pretty good grip on it, too, like, probably extra good grip on it, because I don't have a case on it, and that the portrait mode camera that goes down instead of horizontal is right about where I would like to put the pointer finger of my left hand when I'm holding it, so I'm kind of, like, up against it, and I'm just, like, I'm so, like, repulsed by the idea of my finger going over the lens that I kind of, like, put it my hand in this weird sort of grip so I don't ever touch the lens, but that's kind of annoying. I'm running up against this giant hump that's hanging down.
Well, See, it's flush with the case, so that's one of the good things about a case. But I do notice that it's like silicone, smooth glass part. And then
see, that's just asking for an accidental smudge there.
Well, I mean, you're going to get an accidental smudge, like, even if I didn't have the case, because I'd still hit it. But
accidental.
They didn't mean to. I like it, and you know, while we were poo-pooing certain things about the front-facing camera, it does do some fun stuff like an emoji, which is a novelty that will, I think, have already faded by the time this podcast comes out.
It's pretty close to already have faded, but what I do now instead of like demoing an emoji is I open a text message and I make the an emoji thing like full screen, and then I point it at the other person and I say, make some faces. And it's like, oh, look at me, I'm a poop. I'm like, yep, you're a poop. Isn't that fun? And they're like, what do you do with that? I'm like, well, you can send it to people.
I don't know why they prioritized the poop over some of the other things.
The poop is funny. I do like the chicken, because his little jowly bits jingle around.
My favorite is the unicorn, because the horn has the rainbow thing animated through the horn.
I've only done one unicorn. That was the first one I did.
Yeah. You should do more unicorns.
I was gonna do some more Animoji karaoke style type things, but I was occupied with other things.
I think the fad is past.
it's still kind of fun. Like, I still want to do some of them. I wish they existed. I just don't want to like put the effort into doing them myself.
Yeah, no, I overachieved with something that I was working on.
Yeah. Can I give you notes on your compositing work?
I know everything that's wrong with it. I just realized that I was over budget. So I cut my losses. So
well, I was just going to give you shit about your notch.
Yes. Go ahead.
It's not accurate.
No, I know it's not accurate. It's also a curved screen.
Yeah, well, there's that. I'm willing to forgive the curved screen. It's just your notch was very clearly not... I would have just pulled something from like a screenshot from Apple.com or something, but it looked like you tried to rebuild it out of Bezier curves.
Well, I did, but I just traced a screenshot from Apple.
Okay.
Did I blow your mind?
No, I was drinking a Gatorade.
No.
It was a good thing. It was almost like 5 minutes long. Like I guess the Animoji portion of it was what, like 2 minutes maybe?
Yeah. What was it? 17,000 frames, I think. See,
and
okay.
You played three characters, I think.
Yeah.
You were the monkey, you were the cat, and then there was something. There was a chicken in there.
See, all that part, that stuff was easy. The problem really is planning and data management. Those were the issues that
did
I
you fill
had.
Up your 256 gig phone with screen recordings of Animojis?
No, didn't even come close. That's not an issue. The problem was taking those things into Premiere and then making the executive decision that, oh, I don't want to reduce the frame rate of this 60 FPS video, and I can just capture the DVD at 60 frames per second anyways, because that's what my laptop is. So why don't I just do that, and then I won't have to worry about interpolation? Bad idea, because you suddenly have more than twice the number of frames to deal with than you technically needed to bother touching. So,
well, you could have just thrown out every other frame and brought it down to 30 pretty easily.
I could have, but I didn't. And I also made the mistake of using Premiere to do all the editorial cut, basically, of what it was going to be, like just roughly cropping and timing it out to the audio.
Why was that an issue?
Well, the issue was that I had to export it from Premiere and then take that into Nuke and then take it from Nuke back into Premiere. And it turns out that these programs do not technically get along a lot on a lot of things, because you can do something called export images as TIFF, and it does that. And then it turns out that the default compression settings on the TIFF format that Nuke likes to write out are not compatible with Premiere, and it won't read any of the files you rendered. And you can then take those files and output them again. And you can figure out what other format you would like to put them in. And
wait, so you're saying you did comp work, and then you're trying to get it back into Premiere, so you made TIFF sequences.
Uh-huh.
But Premiere supports DPX and EXR, just like it has really bad color management.
I just thought it would be a smaller file size if I did TIFFs.
Well, you could just make JPEGs.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to do that either, because then when I get, you know, 1700 frames of compression artifacts. But because also,
yeah, this would have been really easy if you just would have used After Effects. You could just right click on it and say send sequence to After Effects, and it would dynamically link it for you.
See, that is definitely an advantage. The downside is I don't know how to do jack in After Effects, so that is not good, because I was not supposed to be a learning side. Experience for me.
Well, it sounds like it was a learning experience regardless, but
any experience you can walk away from. But this was supposed to be as easy as possible, and it was not, just because I made it needlessly complicated by trying to make it as easy as possible. Also, turns out Premiere likes to kernel panic a lot. That is fun.
Which version are you on?
I don't remember what version it was. I just noticed it was going crazy. And I checked to make sure that there wasn't like a new download last week, and there wasn't. And then there was this week, and I'm like, well, is that a new version? Like, what's happening? So I didn't touch anything, because I was just at the point where I was just like, I'm just gonna hold on for dear life and get this thing out there. The other morning, I was just like, just render this out, no matter what garbage it looks like, no matter what frame timing is off on whatever thing, just get it out the door. You have exceeded time and budget for this project. Because time is money, friends, and if you're going to waste all of your time on trying to render files to disk, then don't do that, because it's no fun. And if you're going to sit there and go, oh, that frame that I rendered was bad, and then try to fix that, and then write over those files again, and then cross your fingers and hope you don't actually wind up with some sort of mismatch because you didn't get the frame ranges right, that's also no fun either. And you could just spend hours doing things like that, and you shouldn't.
It's almost like you needed some version of Nuke that had slightly better timeline support.
I considered Nuke Studio.
You should have considered Nuke Studio, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, well, because I also have that for those unfamiliar, Nuke is made by the Foundry. There is a very expensive commercial version, and there is a significantly less expensive non-commercial version. And by less expensive, I mean $0. And that includes Nuke X, not 10, X, and Nuke Studio. And those are available to you. I've never done anything in Nuke Studio, so I didn't know how anything worked in there. So I didn't want to tackle it for the same reason I didn't want to tackle After Effects. So what I did was I took the worst of both worlds and I joined them together. And that explains a lot of problems.
Yes. You said you didn't want this to be a learning experience, so it's very good that you stayed away from Nuke Studio. But Nuke Studio might have been the thing that you needed in this instance, which is kind of like how the horror show that is Nuke Studio came into existence, because you get into these problems where you're like, oh God, I really don't want to deal with all this nonsense, and I don't want to learn a new thing. There's not an easier way to do this or a better way to do this. There's not an easier or better way to do it, but there is a way that will like link it all together and like make it do the thing you want it to do without like trial and error, which is this ridiculously overly complicated, convoluted, mostly broken app called Nuke Studio that costs a lot of money.
Yeah. But for my purposes, free. Because this was a non-revenue generating project.
It does the thing you needed it to do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. The dumb joke is over. I can move on.
It was good. I rewatched it again in preparation for the show here. I particularly enjoyed the wailing chicken as the ship exploded.
Ah, yeah. Well, that was...
With the confetti.
That was something I realized I needed to do, because when the bridge is blowing up, they have a bunch of stuff fall out of the ceiling. And there's a shot of Khan getting a bunch of wires dropped on him. And then there's a shot of somebody with the explosions going off where they're being thrown over the railing, but technically they're leaping over the railing because it's a stunt guy and the set was not on a gimbal or anything. So the stunt guy jumps and there's an explosion. And so that became the chicken. And then all the exploding stuff, it's like, well, what would the wires of this be? And it's like, well, it's an iMessage app, and iMessage has all that shit that falls out of the screen. And so that turned into the confetti and fireworks and celebration, which were all from screen recordings where there was a difference mat that pulled all that stuff. So you could take that out of there and then drop it over white. The celebration and fireworks worked less than good because they were over a dark background, so their edges were jacked. So I just fudged them. And then the confetti one worked great because it's over white. And that was it. And then all that stuff falls out of the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
You got iMored.
I did. Turns out that one of the journalists that works for iMore and Mobile Nations had tracked me down. And
was that difficult for them to find your information?
Surprisingly, it was very easy for them to get in touch with me. It turns out because I do a podcast with them. So Micah had asked me some questions. Unfortunately, I overloaded him with my answers, I think, because he I think he just meant like did you draw like a happy face on this? Like did you you know doodle in the shadows and stuff? And it's like, no, that's, you know, and I just had rambled about all the things that went into making it.
Well, it's like one of those things, right? Like, if you were to, like, break this down, like, cut by cut and element by element, you could write probably an 8,000-word blog post about how you actually did this. And then at that point, you would basically be writing my stupid blog, which nobody wants to read. But, you know, everyone loves when you take, like, a tech Twitter joke, like, way, 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 way too far and apply some skill to it. Everyone is thoroughly amused by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this project is unfortunately in a little bit of a valley of where more effort was expended on it than most people would deign to expend.
Not only that, more effort was expended than most people even really knew was capable of being expended.
Yes, but also it did not. It wasn't, you know, of course, it wasn't like great or anything. So I think they
it was pretty good.
I mean, it's decent, but the final product is not like a flawless masterwork or anything like that. But it achieved the dumb jokes that it was going for. Mm. You know, the control center joke. That was
probably my favorite bit. The control center.
That's what everybody says. The control center.
And you had the song playing on the thing.
Yes, yes. At first, I took a screenshot and it was a podcast, and I was like, "Wait a minute." They wouldn't be listening to a podcast. What would they be listening to? And it's like, well, of course, the music that's supposed to be playing in the scene. So
mm-hmm. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Can I question you about some of it?
Go ahead.
Why did you pick the kitten for Khan?
I feel like the kitten has more expressive facial features for the lips and the whiskers, and it has teeth. When Jason Snell did a like dubbing over version similar to this for Wrath of Khan, he had made Khan a chicken, and I think the chicken looks great in his video, but I didn't really necessarily like the chicken when I was trying it out and delivering lines because the chicken has no teeth and it just has a beak that doesn't have a lot of bend in it. It has some bend, but not a lot. Not as much as the lips do.
But nobody calls him chicken.
No. reference acknowledged. But the chicken still made a cameo in the exploding scene because that was an acknowledgement and homage. I could have used any other character, but that was specific because of what Jason Snell had done in his video. But the... That's why I picked the cat, and the monkey was also picked for similarly for expressiveness, and I didn't want it to be something distracting like the unicorn, which has a lot of colors. So the
puppy's fairly expressive. I'm actually going through them all right now while I'm talking to you.
Yeah, the puppy's pretty good, and I actually did a take with the puppy, and then I was like, I like the monkey better. But I'd say it's a toss up.
The puppy can't really be menacing, though. He can be very surprised and sort of, like, sad.
Yeah.
I really like the pig. He looks like he's a fun guy to hang out with. He looks like he's down for a good time.
The pig's pretty good. The panda is interesting. It doesn't seem as fully featured as some of the others do, but it's just a panda, so it's nice to look at, I guess.
It's good at frowning. That's the one I used for my fish stick.
I still don't understand the fish stick.
That's because you haven't listened to all of You Look Nice Today. I was hoping
this is true.
You started to go back and listen to some You Look Nice Today episodes. I was hoping you were going to get through the entire back catalog.
I didn't. I think I got
you just
to
haven't
like
gotten to it yet. You're working on it still.
This is on like episode 4 or 5 last week. Yeah. So yeah.
See, and do you yet at least appreciate that you don't need to listen to them in any particular order? Like, there's no continuity to them.
I mean, I don't know that because I've only listened to 4 or 5.
Well, but do these 4 seem to string together any sort of narrative for you?
No, but there's a sort of meta-narrative going on where I see where some internet podcast jokes germinated from.
Sure, but like we could give you a playlist of like our top 5 You Look Nice Todays and say just go listen to these and save you some time is what I'm saying.
So you're gonna make me a list,
or I could just find that tweet from Merlin from like 8 years ago when he like crowdsourced everyone's favorite You Look Nice Today episodes.
Okay.
He kind of already did this for us.
All right. Well, whatever you want to do.
I'm just saying. I just want you to be happy, and I want you. And by that, I mean I want you to listen to You Look Nice Today and enjoy.
I feel like this is more about making you happy.
It is. It is about making me happy. At this point in the year 2017, 9-10 years after the launch of this podcast, not our podcast, the You Look Nice Today podcast, I want you to do it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the
audience. Help me help you.
No help. Yeah, help. Help yourself.
Don't think
me.
About it too much, Dan.
Go help yourself. Help me, because I don't want to.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anyway,
I'll put well, my breathing no, mask on first, and then yours.
Yes, yes, yes. Is that other podcast?
But anyway,
you don't listen to that one either, do you?
Which one?
Reply All.
Oh no, I don't listen to Reply All.
Oh, that was good.
Don't die. Pull it together, Dan.
You made me like, hang on, I'm going to mute and drink a Gatorade. Hum a song or something for the audience. Okay, great work.
Yeah, that was it's a really good song.
Oh, boy. An emoji.
Mm. And I guess there's one last thing to say about the iPhone, and then we can just call it a night. And that's certain place had compared the iPhone 10 camera to a 4K professional video camera for recording things. Remember that?
This is a thing I read. Oh, the article about the GH2, yep. 3, whatever it was.
The Panasonic camera.
Jiminy Christmas, these people. Yeah, that was something else.
My favorite thing about that was sending it to you to be so that you could be angry about it. But then you didn't even look at it right away, and so I was angry with you for not being angry fast enough.
I knew. Look, I enjoy Daring Fireball as much as the next guy, but I could tell already from the pull quote that Gruber used in his little addition at the end of it that I knew it was just going to make me angry. His little quote was, something like, looks like the iPhone mostly holds its own in, exterior daylight settings, which is what, like the wheelhouse for literally every camera ever.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, it didn't.
Camera works under bright lights. So.
Camera works under bright lights outdoor where everything is in focus. Go figure. But no, it didn't. It was all soft and mushy and full of compression, because duh. It's a tiny sensor. It doesn't have the resolution lines. It's got a cheap lens, especially compared to anything you can slap on a deal. You're just trying to rile me up. You're trying to get my blood pressure up. This is unhealthy for me in my current state.
I'm sorry. I forgot about your condition.
No, it's fine. Like, you know, these guys talking about, like, you know, it's a pretty good camera, and, you know, we've even shot a couple of spots on iPhones, and if you needed to use your iPhone for something, you could totally use this, and it's almost as good as our favorite 4K sort of, I think the GH2 is a mirrorless DSLR, and it's not, and it's not really the iPhone's fault. Like, you can't expect it to be, you know, recording 50-100 megabit a second 4K video. Just, like, that's not what this phone is for. Like, sure, it takes reasonable 4K video of your, I don't know, backyard pool party or something, but, like, you shouldn't be picking this as your primary camera to leave the house with if you have access to a real camera, with the giant asterisk caveat of that stupid long blog post I wrote about, unless you are literally trying to make it look like footage that came out of an iPhone. It just doesn't have the dynamic range. It prioritizes things differently. It doesn't have the resolution. It doesn't have the right compression rate. Just, like, all of it, it's not professional. It's not a professional camera. Don't do this, guys.
I mean, I will say that if you're trying to go for an artistic effect, which is something you hinted
is
at.
Is that artistic effect compression artifact thing?
Well, there is a movie, Tangerine, which was shot on an iPhone 5, and they use, like, a weird anamorphic lens adapter thing that they stuck on there, and they shot it all with Filmic Pro, and Filmic Pro, I think, had that on their website for forever. But
I would also like to point out that Filmic Pro, I don't know if it's not really a hack or anything, but it does use a different codec than the default video recording app and a higher bit rate, particularly because it can reduce some of the compression artifacting.
Yeah. And so, while I liked that look for Tangerine and that movie, the way that it was sort of, it felt like a documentary feel for that thing. It was fine for that purpose. I don't want to see a blockbuster shot on an iPhone. That's not how that's going to work out for me. I don't want to see most things shot on an iPhone, despite the fact that it is improved and looks better. But it's still does not hold a candle to other solutions that you should use if you have the ability to. But that should not discourage any hobbyist home photo, short film, feature Sundance people.
Yes, I didn't mean to discourage the motivated, passionate youth of the world. Who,
you're just being a gatekeeper, and you're keeping people out, Dan. You're trying to keep all this sophisticated directing to yourself.
I don't want people to think they need to go out and spend literally hundreds of dollars on a GH2 in order to shoot their feature film. Shoot it on your iPhone, whatever. I mean,
yeah, spend over $1,000.
I think at this point that the GH2 probably costs less than an iPhone 10, but that's beside the point. It's great for if you want to go shoot a thing, but, like, don't think this is a professional camera. Like, I would never sell a client on the idea that we're going to shoot something on an iPhone unless it was literally like we were trying to record a FaceTime. Again, we were trying to make it look like exactly the footage coming out of an iPhone. And even then, in most instances, you want to fake it unless you're just, like, super low on budget, which sometimes you are. But, like, yeah, don't. This is not a professional video camera. The stills are better than the video, even. And I wouldn't even want to make this my primary camera for a project. Anyway.
We like our fancy phones.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love our phones, but we also love to critique technical analysis and technology solutions to problems that nobody really asked to solve in the first place.
Yeah, we're professional annotators. So
I gotta give me an iPad and an Apple Pencil so I can annotate more quickly. See, I had to download a photo and open up Sketch on my computer here, doodle on stuff.
Why aren't you using markup?
Markup's stupid.
Oh, you're wrong.
And my phone screen is tiny.
Okay. Well, number one, you're wrong. Number two, if you're doing it on your computer, you should use Preview. It's much better.
I don't like that.
You don't like Preview?
Sketch is fast.
Sketch is janky, and
it's janky, but it's free and it's fast.
It's free and unsupported. so, yeah, no, I'm not in a rush to use Sketch for anything. Preview is more than good enough if you need something quick. if you need something more sophisticated than that, then of course there's Pixelmator you can jump to. I think a lot of people neglect Preview because they think that it's just for looking at stuff, but it's got a lot of fancy whiz-bang features in it.
There's probably a Mac version of this Annotable app that I forgot existed for forever until John Voorhees and Micah reminded me about it, which I use on my phone from time to time. I should use that. That's a good app.
Yeah. Apps. So anyway, get well soon, and the podcast will wind down now.
Good night and good luck.